So I may be confusing, but were Sacco and Vanzetti gay? Does anybody know if Sacco?
Excuse me, and everyone, look. Does anyone know?
Does anyone know if Sacco and Vanzetti were gay?
Oh, Sacco and Vanzetti. Oh,
yeah.
Would they have thought of it that way? I feel like there was a time where it's like, well, they're really telling people. Look, they don't have like TikTok.
Did they know Teresa Giudice?
Wait,
what?
Did they?
Who's that?
Real
Housewives. Went to jail.
Yes, I knew it was. I assumed it was Real Housewives.
Do you think if someone
just making up names, as far as I'm concerned?
All right, we're back. I'm here with Sarah, Kendra, Hallie.
Hi.
For another edition of What a Weekday. And every day a week of news.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
And for the first time in some time, exciting.
Yeah.
What a Sunday, am I right?
Yeah.
What a
Lord's Day, finally.
I cannot believe how much has happened since we recorded on Saturday night in Madison.
Yeah.
We record Saturday night in Madison. We head to O'Hare. We get on the plane, and then right as we're taxiing, we see the letter.
Well, one of our colleagues ran down the aisle of the airplane to tell you, which I think is very fun.
It was there. Like I look to my right, and I see David standing there, and he goes, "Love it. We may have to record when we land." It was like we were doing the newsroom. It was like the newsroom had come full circle, and I'd gone from working on the newsroom to being like, I should probably tell the pilots. I should probably get everyone up and tell the pilots and announce I am a newsman.
The pilot starts crying.
Yeah.
Coldplay kicks in.
Pilot takes out a picture, and it's I'm done. On Sunday, President Biden announced his decision to drop out of the 2024 presidential race in a statement posted to X. It took him a minute, but he did the right thing. Why was everybody rushing him, badgering this old, decent man for weeks? You should all be ashamed of yourselves. Joe Biden is an American hero. Feels good to say that instead of the many ruthless jokes at his expense that we had planned. Back to the drawing up, everybody. Joe Biden is a hero, and Trump is too old.
Yeah, way old.
It's also awesome that Biden did this on a Sunday. Pissed off at media elites? Make them sprint to the office in their little brunch outfits. In fact, I was looking at Twitter as we boarded our flight. And even before the news broke, I happened to have seen this post by Wolf Blitzer. It's the sweetest image. It's Wolf Blitzer at a local restaurant in D.C. It's called El Presidente. And he's smiling, holding a cocktail, and has a menu. And the menu says Wolf Spritzer. He says he's enjoying a Wolf Spritzer at the restaurant. And it is so sweet.
Delightful.
And then, shout out to @BeardedGenius, who posted this still of Wolf Blitzer back at work a few hours later. Never check your work email on a day off. That image is so funny. This the Wolf Blitzer being like, I'm going to enjoy a Wolf Spritzer happening now.
Not today.
I love it. Joe Biden also happened to drop out of the race on National Ice Cream Day. A National Ice Cream Day to remember. How's that for a scoop? Okay. For those listening at home, I just want you to know we did two takes of that.
Oh, I think they could tell.
Wrote Biden, it has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president. While it had been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. Lame duck? No. Heroic duck. Mr. President, if you're listening, go ahead and pardon Hunter. Go on. You've earned it. I sincerely believe that. I kind of do. Do you?
He gets one.
Anybody? I like it.
I think he gets one.
He gets a freebie.
I think he gets one. I think
it's a gun crime, so I'm going to say no, but
I just feel like, I don't know. Everybody gets one.
He should definitely go pardon crazy. I feel like from now on, I just be pardoning. Yeah.
You know, the Supreme Court ruled he's immune. Throw some pardons out there.
Yeah.
Biden's announcement and endorsement of Kamala triggered an outpouring of gratitude and endorsements from all or most corners of the Democratic Party, which is why we're going to, for the remainder of this episode, we're coconut pilled.
We don't do a lot of prop comedy, so this was
It's a special day.
It's a special day.
Well, you know, you save it for one that you know is just going to fucking kill, which is what this is doing.
Crushing.
LaCroix in a half coconut shell.
Yeah,
with little lemon slices on the straws.
I have an ice pop.
This really sums it up, I think.
I haven't seen the party this excited and united since we thought Trump getting impeached would mean something. California Governor Gavin Newsom and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg endorsed Harris on Sunday, as did Congressional Progressive Caucus Chair Pramila Jayapal, friend of the show, and AOC, along with a slew of other progressives and moderates in Congress. Wrote Newsom of Biden, he will go down in history as one of the most impactful and selfless presidents. It's true. And we owe it all to the persuasive powers of those four ghosts who visited Joe Biden the night before. That's right. Four ghosts. There are four ghosts. Past, present, future. And who? Jacob Marley. Mm-hmm. It's no. Jacob Marley. There's another ghost. Wait, who'd you say?
Christmas. I haven't seen the movie.
What?
It's also a book.
I haven't read that either.
Christmas past, Christmas present.
Oh, they're all Christmas.
They're all Christmas. Christmas past, ghost of Christmas past, present, future, and Jacob Marley running around with the chains, I believe.
I do always forget about Jacob Marley.
Lazarus, you of all people would enjoy The Muppets Christmas Carol, and it's frankly shocking that you haven't.
I think I've seen every other Muppets movie.
Have you seen Scrooged?
No.
The Bill Murray version of The Christmas Carol? It is awesome.
I've seen The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Scrooged is a play on A Christmas Carol about a TV executive who forces the entire network to make a live Christmas show. And my takeaway from it is we should do a live Christmas show on Christmas.
It would be fun.
No? Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz tweeted, "Madam Vice President, we are ready to help," with a photo of himself climbing up a coconut tree. If you don't get this picture, then you need to go and look into the context of all in which you live and what came before you. I love this picture of Schatz in a coconut tree. He's a senator from Hawaii. He gets up there. Good for him. Love Schatz. Schatz. Bill and Hillary Clinton wrote in a Sunday statement, "We join millions of Americans in thanking President Biden for all he has accomplished, standing up for America time and again, with his North Star always being what's best for the country. We are honored to join the president in endorsing Vice President Harris, and we will do whatever we can to support her," the statement continued. "And I'm just going to be happy for her and not give in to any other negative emotions or patterns of thought that serve no purpose other than to ruin my day, like I've been talking about with Dr. Angela." Are you using Siri to transcribe this? She's talking to Dr. Angela, you know?
Do you think she feels bad?
I wonder.
I don't think she should.
Well, she definitely shouldn't, but I mean, she's a person. Must be complicated. Must raise a lot of feelings.
It's complicated.
You know, that's such an important. It is. It's complicated.
Put that on a T-shirt.
Flying
out the show.
Relationship status. Complicated. It's complicated. Former President Barack Obama, for his part, issued a statement on Sunday praising Biden's track record in loving country, but didn't immediately endorse Harris. "For his Harris endorsement, Obama invites you to subscribe to his Patreon," wrote Obama. "We will be navigating uncharted waters in the days ahead, but I have extraordinary confidence that the leaders of our party will be able to create a process from which emerges an outstanding nominee. And that process, 78-year-old senators posting Kamala memes." And we've got Ed Markey posting Chicka Chicka Boom Boom. "Let's put Kamala in the Situation Room."
Fantastic.
It's great.
This feels like the one that he should have done. You know what I mean? It's like he's not reaching for it.
No, no. It's right in the sweet spot for where you want Ed Markey to be, which is where Ed Markey always is.
Mm-hmm. He put himself in the coconut too. He's also there.
He's all there. But the Kamala momentum has only continued to grow, with six more Democratic governors, including her potential rivals, endorsing on Monday, like J.B. Pritzker of Illinois and Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, who'd been a diehard Biden defender, also tweeted his support for Harris on Monday. "Hey, girl, did it hurt when you fell out of the coconut tree?" Harris also seemed to have earned the endorsement of Charlie XCX, who tweeted, "Kamala is brat. Stay out of this, Limey. Go bow to your hot dog finger king." I'm just kidding. Kamala is brat.
Yeah.
Keir Starmer does sound like the name of a high-ranking Trade Federation member who later turns out to be Sith. But that's not Charlie XCX's fault.
Lazarus didn't know who Keir Starmer was.
I
took me a minute to get walked back to Sith. I knew the Sith, but it took me a minute.
It was just a sentence that I understood no part of.
We trusted you, though. We're like, this is his thing.
Thanks for trusting me.
Yeah. Just to add some fun context, I think also it's important to, it's two Indian women, like, congratulating each other.
Yeah.
I think some people forget.
I can't clap because I'm holding a coconut.
Can't clap with a famous saying. That famous saying, you can never clap with a coconut in your hand.
Democratic voters across the country were fired the fuck up, donating more than $100 million through Act Blue since Biden's announcement. The massive fundraising haul eclipsed the previous record holder, which was the day Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. I have to say, this one feels less bittersweet. In a bizarre Sunday subplot, Aaron Sorkin published a New York Times essay titled How I Would Script This Moment for Biden and the Democrats. In it, he wrote, here's my pitch to the writer's room. The Democratic Party should pick a Republican. At their convention next month, the Democrats should nominate Mitt Romney. Let that be a lesson to everyone who said replacing Biden with another Democrat was a ridiculous Sorkin fantasy. The real Sorkin fantasy was much, much worse. Hours after the essay was published, Biden announced he was bowing out, and Sorkin emailed West Wing actor Josh Molina and said, I need to borrow your Twitter account again. I take it all back, Harris for America. So he thought the thing would live through Sunday. But it was going to be a brown banana either way.
Are you upset that he didn't message you to use your platform?
I'm just reminded of just what it was like to be in a writer's room with Aaron Sorkin, who obviously is an extraordinarily talented person. But there was a lot of you got to go through a lot of bad ideas to get to a good idea.
Oh, we're familiar. Yeah. We know the process.
just puts me back in that mindset of having to think, like, how do you talk someone out of this? Think about it. What's the best argument against Mitt Romney? Like, meets him where he is, which is a place I've never been. Now, it's unfortunate that he posted that op-ed just hours before Biden dropped. If only there was somehow a way to know the news in advance when he's writing. If he could write something where he could say or predict what he needed to predict because he knew all the news, perhaps a year or two ahead. But it's not possible. Never been done. Republicans, for their part, spent the last few... That's about the newsroom. Republicans, for their part, spent the last few days swinging wildly like a kid trying to find the pinata. Trump attacked Biden for a while, telling NBC News, Joe Biden is the worst president in the history of the United States by far, adding he should never have been there in the first place. He should have stayed in his basement. Trump also tried out his nickname for the vice president at his rally in Grand Rapids.
I call her Laughing Kamala. You ever watch her laugh? She's crazy. You know, you can tell a lot by a laugh. No, she's crazy. She's nuts.
First of all, absolutely insane thing for a person to say who has been in the public eye for basically nonstop 40 years, including 10 years as a national political figure. And we have never seen him actually laugh. We've seen him mock people or smile or kind of jeer or do a little scoff or appreciate a joke or a line. But we've never seen Donald Trump moved to laughter. That is chilling. That is chilling.
I feel like a challenge has just been issued.
I want to know.
I think finding something requires a level, like it's a very shallow level of vulnerability, but he can't allow himself. He would have to allow himself. Yeah,
you are relenting. Laughter is a kind of, you relent.
I think he would be disgusted by his own laughter. And so we're never going to see it.
Also, the mispronouncing of the name is...
None of them can say it, and I don't know what's going on.
A deliberate.
No, it's absolutely deliberate, but it going to be a log.
I think it is a right. It's, I mean, it's just, it's a way of signaling that she's strange and odd and not worth knowing. Like, it's like,
yeah, this is
how
little
dare
I
she have a name
right.
We don't
right.
all know already. She should be named Sarah or something of that nature.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at you.
Yes, like boring. Yeah.
Well, just a good old fashioned white name
from the Bible.
From the Bible. Yeah. And like, sure, it's from the Jewish parts, but it's not Jewy.
You know? If you spell without the H, it's less Jewy.
Right, for sure. And we've always said that. Meatball Ron, Sleepy Joe, Little Marco. And now, like, those are good nicknames. Laughing Kamala? I think he's lost his touch. But that's common with aging. Oh, did you know that Donald Trump is 78 years old and the oldest nominee in the history of a major party? It's interesting. I think it's a big liability. And I think more and more people are going to start talking about it. I hadn't thought about it. I honestly hadn't thought about it.
Until right now
and realized how old he is.
Yeah.
And I think he's lost a step.
Oh,
and
the last
I'm concerned
couple of
about
months,
it.
He's falling apart.
He's
he genuinely
losing
is.
A step. And I just think, look, it's too important a job to put in the hands of somebody who you feel like is maybe slowing down.
Couldn't agree more.
There was that video yesterday of Kamala walking down the stairs of the airplane. Could have watched it all day.
She goes right down the stairs. She's doing
wonderful
great.
Video.
You know, you're not afraid at any point.
No.
The GOP seems pretty committed to focusing on Kamala's reputation for laughing a lot as an angle of attack. Good. Now that Kamala is fully Joker-fied, she is unstoppable. Yeah. Want to know how she got all these scars? She didn't fall out of a coconut tree. Oh. That's tough. That was a tough one.
100 days. 100 days.
Gafamala? Gafaw?
Gafamala. See, but these are all cute. Do you ever see like where this was Sacco and Vizzetti, where I'm about to do it, where there's like these two shapes, the one's like a pointy shape and a round shape?
Oh, yeah, Kiki and Boba.
Kiki and Boba. I feel like Kamala has this very like warm, positive, round feeling that even like Gafamala, I'm like, that's fun. Laughing Kamala, I like it. Like, it's like you can't, he's not riffing in the right way because the actual name itself is, I guess that's why they have to mispronounce it. Yeah. Right? Like, because the actual name is, it's a great name. Kamala. Like, it's like you can manage it on a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Said Nikki Haley in Milwaukee.
Kamala had one job. One job. And that was to fix the border. Now imagine her in charge of the entire country.
So first of all, it's nice to imagine Kamala in charge of the country. It gives me a warm feeling.
Oh, yeah.
But just as a reminder, the Biden administration now has put in place an executive action that is helping to reduce the chaos at the border. There's a bipartisan bill that Trump is currently blocking. And I just, you know, they're going to try to throw this term border czar at her, and we should just not give an inch on it, because it is Donald Trump and the Republicans that are currently responsible for what is going on at the border. Meanwhile, other conservatives pumped out faux outrage over Biden's decision to step aside, a betrayal, they claim, of Democratic voters, tweeted Mike Johnson, having invalidated the votes of more than 14 million Americans who selected Joe Biden to be the Democrat nominee for president. The self-proclaimed party of democracy has proven exactly the opposite. Invalidating the votes of 14 million Americans is supposed to be our job. Speaker Johnson also said that Kamala is responsible for the largest political cover-up in U.S. history. She is known for as long as anyone of Biden's incapacity to serve. However, here's the problem with this. Biden has been meeting regularly with both Democrats and Republicans. Speaker Johnson has met with him, negotiated with him. Here's Speaker Johnson after an important and contentious meeting just this year.
Thank you all for being here. We had a productive meeting, I think.
So that's about a meeting he had with the president and a bunch of Republican and Democratic leaders. If there's a conspiracy, bud, you're part of it. Like, in a couple years, Lazarus puts out a statement saying I should step down because I've started commenting on too many of the jokes and not moving on to the next joke. Bitch, you've been here and said nothing.
Saving it all up for when I need it.
Yeah, yeah, they tell enough. All.
I feel like there's some Slack comments that say otherwise.
Never criticize me. Never criticize
Never
me.
Criticize I don't want to hear it.
I only have criticism now. I don't have anything
I don't want to hear it.
A benevolent, a positive criticism. A critique.
No, I don't even, I don't want destructive or constructive criticism. I don't want anything, even if it is in the 100% the spirit of making the show better. Only compliments.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Stephen Miller threw a full-on tantrum on Fox News.
They held a primary. People, they had ballots. They filled out circles. They went to the voting booths. They spent money on advertisements. And as President Trump said, the Republican Party spent tens of millions of dollars running against Joe Biden.
First of all, yuck. But also, I can tell you from experience, most of us just went in there and filled out the bubble for fun. It was the only real option. And I can also tell you from experience, most of us fully forgot we had to select him in the primary. Hours before Biden issued his announcement, Speaker Johnson claimed it would be illegal for Democrats to change their official candidate at this point, which is obviously a lie.
So it would be wrong and I think unlawful in accordance to some of these states' rules for a handful of people to go in a back room and switch it out because they don't like the candidate any longer. That's not how this is supposed to work. So I think they would run into some legal impediments in at least a few of these jurisdictions.
So these guys are really scared of Kamala, and that's more fun than I imagined it would be. Actually, the rule book says a dog must play basketball, must. Just to sum up their position. Joe Biden has to be the presidential nominee, even if it's non-consensual. He has to do it even if he doesn't want to, but also he must resign immediately, which means Joe Biden can be president next year, but not this year. Kamala can't be president next year, but she must be president right now. That is their view. Amazing. Amazing. Trump's Make America Great Again pact launched an anti-Harris TV spot in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona, which claims Kamala was in on it. She covered up Joe's obvious mental decline. Kamala knew Joe couldn't do the job, so she did it. All right, so here's what we're thinking. For the new attack ad, Kamala Harris has secretly been a successful president for years. Former VP Mike Pence tweeted Monday, President Joe Biden made the right decision for our country, and I thank him for putting the interest of our nation ahead of his own. After the assassination attempt on President Trump and President Biden's decision to end his campaign, now is a time for leaders in both parties to project calm and send a message of strength and resolve to America's friends and enemies alike that whatever the state of our politics, the American people are strong and our American military stands ready to defend our freedom and our vital national interests anywhere in the world. No, it's time to eat a hog's dick, said a guy dressed as George Washington with a sign that says Mike Pence goes here, pointing at an early 1900s electric chair, which is why I was thinking of Sacco and Vanzetti.
I'm so glad we got back there.
I loved it.
I had the image in my mind of a 1920s electric chair. Put that in there. We sit down here. Sacco and Vanzetti pops out. The brain. Huh? The human brain.
The human brain
and its strange connections, huh? It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
A lot of people got in jail. A lot of them are Italian.
Vanzetti gay.
Can someone explain who these people are?
They're a pair of murderers. You should take us through it.
You're out of your mind. Chicago people who
conspire to murder a child?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe they
succeeded. That's what I needed.
Wait, can you?
Well, I don't think it was a child.
No. There's.
It wasn't a child?
No, you're thinking of, I know who you're talking about.
Loeb, Leo and Loeb.
We can't use this.
Leopold and Loeb.
That's who I'm thinking of.
They were gay. But also, would
rom-com?
They have described it in that way? Like, do you think, are they gay? It's like, that would imply that they have the same.
It's a rom-com. It sounds like
Kate and Leopold. Written by the man who wrote Itanya.
Kate and Leopold and Loeb.
On Monday morning, Vice President Harris spoke publicly for the first time since President Biden stepped aside.
And I wanted to say a few words about our president. Joe Biden's legacy of accomplishment over the past 3 years is unmatched in modern history. In one term, he has already, yes, you may clap. In one term, he has already surpassed the legacy of most presidents who have served 2 terms in office.
At the you may clap part, I found myself involuntarily clapping alone at my computer. The power of Mamala. Losers say, please clap. But winners say, you may clap. These are the subtle distinctions that decide elections. How nice.
Oh, just not to sit and watch you like, oh, God, make it through, land the plane.
Also, what was really nice, and like before when they were doing the intro and everything and there was a wide shot, all those kids were like geeked to be
standing there with her.
It was kismet that her first time speaking as the new and youthful candidate compared to the alternatives happened to be an event with student athletes. So we got to see Kamala Harris standing in front of just a group of youth. Just the message was the event itself.
Yeah.
And it is not a political event. So she just spoke lovingly and complimentary. But she just spoke in a complimentary way about Joe Biden. And she did an event in Delaware later that was also great. But it was so nice to see. And gay news. That is a fucking kick-ass outfit. It is just,
it's
a simple suit. That shirt is so cool.
Yep.
You know, it's like the perfect.
She's chic. She like actually has a style.
It's not special. It's simple. It's beautiful. I was like, I loved it.
She looks like a Danish queen.
So for me, it looks very sci-fi. And I think that there is like something very, there is something where like when you look into various science fiction futures of like utopias, a lot of the times people put Black and brown women as leaders in those utopias. And I think that there's...
Let's do this!
Genuinely, Stacey Abrams is the president of... What is she? The president of Earth Federation and Star Trek Discovery. But, like, you... It's just... It is... It's a very nice messaging to have that.
Well, we were talking about the Zoom call of 44,000 Black women who... Kendra did not get on it, even though she got the link. And I was like, Kendra, you gotta be on that Zoom call. But there's something where it's like,
You were napping.
I was napping.
It's important for me to nap. But there's something where it's like, I do trust 44,000 Black women. Does that make sense? Like, you're all... Like, 44,000 Black women working at something. Like, thank God. Thank you so much for doing that.
And here's the thing. While we're on that topic, I love this again, and I've said it before. Yes, it is good that we are all excited about Black women working and rallying behind her. White women, you need to be concerned 100%. About your people.
That's absolutely, completely, that is, yes.
Like,
I saw some people saying, like, I'm going to organize a call only for whites. I was like, well, hold on, back up a little, but I love where your head's at.
Right.
Love the idea. I see where you're going with it.
Right,
just listen,
yeah.
Think about it.
And that is what white people do. We do go that to the other
and
side.
To give black men their due, they had a call, I believe, last night where they raised another, like, $1.3 million. So they're on it, too.
Right. Yeah, no, we got to step up here.
There was a clip going around of Gerald Ford, and I don't know exactly when it's from, but it's clearly between when he leaves office in 1976 and Geraldine Ferraro is selected to be the Democratic VP candidate in 1984, because he's speaking to a group of children. And a little girl raises her hand and says, you know, will we ever have a female president? And Gerald Ford says, oh, what a great question, little girl. I hope we do have a female president. And I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but I can tell you how it's going to happen. There's going to be a male president. He's going to select a female vice president, and then that man is going to die.
I mean,
it is truly like a bananas way to address a child. And basically he's like, because then she'll become president without having gone through the electoral process, but then America's going to really let... He's mm-hmm. trying to say that once America has a female president, they'll never go back. That's what he gets to, that once we have a female president, the men will have a hard time becoming a nominee again, which is the kind of, I think, the grandpa sweet way he was trying to address it. But the root there is absolutely insane.
Side note, Geraldine Ferraro does sound like Gerald Ford's drag name.
Oh, that's so interesting.
True.
Yeah.
So interesting. I believe that one of the attacks on Geraldine Ferraro in 1984 was that either she or her husband had committed the sin of having therapy.
Oh, well, that yeah, back
and
then.
And it was like, well, you can't have a woman who had therapy. You can fact check that. There's something about electroshock treatments in there, but that may have just been a right-wing attack. Anyway, we've been here before.
We were doing it a lot back then, I will say.
We've been here before.
Yeah, no.
Some people still do it. Some people it helps.
Yeah.
So there's something to think about for all of us. Speaking of people that make me want to get shock therapy, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin said Monday that he wouldn't run against Harris for the nomination after considering re-registering as a Democrat on Sunday. Yeah, same. I also won't run against Kamala. Hallie? Kendra? Sarah? You gonna run?
I'm gonna get on the next Zoom call. That's all I can promise.
I'm gonna take a nap. That's my plan.
I thought this was the part of the race where everyone announces they won't run against Kamala, even though no one on the planet thinks they should. Colorado Governor Jared Polis was asked Monday whether he'd serve as Harris's vice president and said this.
If they do the polling and it turns out that they need a 49-year-old balding gay Jew from Boulder, Colorado, they got my number.
Jared, you've been elected the vice president of my heart. I love that. When asked about a potential VP run on Morning Joe, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear said, I think if somebody calls you on that, what you do is at least listen. Beshear also took a swipe at J.D. Vance over his book Hillbilly Elegy and the fact that he grew up in Middleton, Ohio.
And I want the American people to know what a Kentuckian is and what they look like, because let me just tell you that J.D. Vance ain't from here.
This is the left's birtherism, and to be clear, I 100% support it. Harris spoke at the campaign's Wilmington headquarters on Monday after walking up to Beyoncé's Freedom, which was awesome. That, like, a song for this moment, like, it was so fucking cool just hearing that song. And that apparently, like, she has the permission of Beyoncé to use it.
She did once before, right? I'm trying to remember. Like, there was something before Biden.
I mean, I know
there was something recently where she came out to that song and it was like, oh.
Yeah, Beyoncé personally gifted her tickets to the show in D.C. Like, they are definitely connected. And Miss Tina has been posting nonstop since the announcement.
Harris had this exchange with President Biden, who was on speakerphone.
We love Joe and Jill. We really do. They truly are like family to us. And we do. Everybody here does.
It's mutual.
I knew you were still there. You're not going anywhere, Joe.
I'm watching you, kid. I love you.
I love you, Joe.
It was a sweet moment. Little did we know that it would continue for the next 100 days. Joe's voice booming from the ceiling without warning during every Kamala campaign event. No one able to figure out how to end the call. Harris then previewed what her presidential campaign against Trump might look like.
Before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women.
Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
Does anyone else feel like doing a standing backflip right now, or is that just me? Meanwhile, J.D. Vance traveled to his hometown of Middleton, Ohio on Monday, where he had this to say about Democrats.
Well, they say it's racist to do anything. I had a Diet Mountain Dew yesterday and one today. I'm sure they're going to call that racist, too, but...
Nice. Good one, J.D. No, Diet Mountain Dew isn't racist. It is a disqualifying beverage choice.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Because Diet Mountain Dew isn't an option when there are five options. It isn't an option when there are a dozen options. It is only an option when every soda on Earth is also available. It is only available in a wall of capitalistic, orgiastic, carbonated excess. You're turning down Diet Coke. You're turning down Diet Pepsi, Coke Zero, Pepsi Zero. You're turning down Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, Coke Zero, Pepsi Zero Sugar, Diet Root Beer, Diet Iced Tea. What are we doing here? And he says he had one yesterday and one today, so that's his go-to.
I don't think I've had a Mountain Dew since middle school, like genuinely.
Part of me thinks he's saying this to like activate the incels. I feel like part of me is like, is Diet Mountain Dew like, it is like a phrase that people are like, ah, you're connecting to me through
the
internet.
It's like what activates the Manchurian candidate.
Is it that same neon color?
I can't even imagine what a Diet Mountain Dew would taste like.
I kind of do want to try it now, but I am disgusting. You got to keep that in mind. I'm from Ohio.
I love Diet Mountain Dew. I mean, I'm sure it's great. Just to be clear.
I'd enjoy it.
We'd love Mountain Dew.
But come on.
It's just so far down the list.
It's like if it's hot in the back of like the bus, you're like, I guess I'll drink it because there's something else here.
It's like the Wario of Fresca, I feel.
Yes. Diet Mountain Dew as a kid, it was the drink of the kids that just didn't give a fuck. They're just like, yep, I drink Mountain Dew. I don't really care about my grades. I don't care what happens.
It was one thing if you were drinking
a Mountain Dew
kid.
Code Red was very popular.
Well, and Diet Mountain Dew is interesting because the diet implies that you do care about something. You are being thoughtful about nutrition to some degree, but then it's a Mountain Dew. So it's, who are you?
Yeah. Well, I think he's trying to be relatable, but also, yeah, he's keeping it tight for the campaign trail.
That is interesting, right? To go to talk about having a diet soda in this context.
That's the Yale of him coming out.
Yeah, Yale jumped out. The Bulldog jumped out. There's the JD and the JD.
If he was drinking full-flavored Mountain Dew, it would make me trust him a little bit more. Because it's like, okay, well, something's deep wrong then. Okay.
Maybe I got to stop drinking all this diet soda.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
I think definitely.
I got to stop.
Yeah.
We just love it so much.
Have talked about it.
I got to stop.
I just can't imagine turning down a full-fat Coke for a Diet Coke, or even better, a McDonald's Sprite.
To me, it's a Diet Cherry Coke with a Cherry Coke floater at the movies, like the fountain drink. Untouchable.
I like a Diet Coke.
You like
I just think the thing about real Coke, which does taste good, but then afterwards there's like you feel the film on your teeth.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And Diet Coke, you just feel the chemicals burning through your body.
Which I like.
I love it.
I do think the Diet Coke, the first time you have it as a kid, you're like, what are you people doing?
Yeah.
This tastes like a tire.
Yeah.
How do you think it's good? And somehow you're like, second sip, less tire. Third sip, perfect. And that's the beauty of Diet Coke.
An acquired taste.
JD wasn't done riffing.
It's good. I love you guys. But
100 days.
Look, JD Vance is a guy you'd really like to go get a beer with, but only because he's still in your house an hour after the party ended and he refuses to take your hints to leave and you don't know what else to do. And before anyone asks, what's RFK Jr. up to? Well, you probably won't be surprised. That's right. He finally ate Commander Biden. According to the Washington Post, Kennedy met with Donald Trump to discuss a role in his administration overseeing a portfolio of health and medical issues.
God. Oh.
In the end, I mean, first of all, That is a big deal. Look, we all stare into the abyss. We took a good 2 weeks to pretend Donald Trump wasn't there and stare in the abyss. And we got a good look at the abyss and we know how dark it is down there and we're scared of it and we don't want to go in the abyss. Now we got to turn around again and like blow these things up.
Mm-hmm.
Because holy shit, they're going to play Fauci with RFK Jr.? It won't be safe anywhere.
He's only doing what the worm commands him to, obviously.
It's the worm's world in that case.
We're
living under worm law. You want to live under worm law? In the end, the Post says, this is so rich, that Trump's team declined to offer RFK Jr. a job out of concern that Kennedy was effectively seeking a quid pro quo of his endorsement for a position under Trump. Trump, who famously hates quid pro quos, who famously was impeached for seeking a quid pro quo, who loves quid pro quos, wants to be a part of one. This is all, like, the layers of bullshit that go into the statement, Trump declined to offer RFK Jr. a role because it seemed like a quid pro quo. Don't believe he declined. Don't believe it's because of a quid pro quo. Believe he would get the job. Believe maybe he's already been promised a job.
I think that they told him that. It's kind of like in Hollywood, like, sometimes, like, they tell people, white men, like, they're not hiring white men right now. I think they're like, RFK would be a quid pro quo, rather than like, we're terrified of you. Even you, our voters would say, not this.
You came to this meeting with two ravens on your shoulders.
And they're holding you up to carry you in by your
and
you, suit jacket.
And you keep asking in a terrified way if anyone's going to pour salt on your belly. And that is a strange thing. We just can't make sense of it. You're like, don't pour salt on my belly. I can't survive if you pour salt on my belly. And it's like, that's something, I don't think it's something a person would say. It's something like a worm might say. I don't know. Anyway, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle, meanwhile, lest we forget, the former president was almost assassinated like 2 weeks ago. And it's like it never happened.
That was a week and 2 days ago.
We can change. A week and change.
It was a week and change. It was a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle was grilled on Capitol Hill Monday over potential lapses in protocol that nearly led to Donald Trump's assassination. Said Cheadle to the committee,
"The Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed."
It's tough that any Secret Service failure is inherently very public. When I fail at my solemn mission, Kendra sends me a stern text reminding me that I have a meeting.
I don't text.
She hasn't texted. The secret. Meanwhile, right-wing talking heads have latched on to calling the director a DEI hire because she is a woman. Hallie, Kendra, Lazarus, what do the DEI hires think about this?
Sometimes things happen. You know what I'm saying?
Bullet grazes my ear. And if you don't like that joke, you're proving my point. It was written by my exclusively DEI writers, except for Peter, who is now vice president. Congrats to Peter for becoming vice president. After her testimony, Republican Committee Chairman Representative James Comer and the committee's top Democrat, Jamie Raskin, issued an uncommon unified message calling for Director Cheadle to step down. And by Tuesday morning, she was out. Cheadle announced her resignation as director of the Secret Service. She says she plans to spend more time with her family, not checking the roof. Strange. What sucks is she had these terrible 2 weeks. She gets home, it rains, all the gutters run over because she forgot to check the roof. The Secret Service director, taken down by her nemesis, the roof. None of these are totally working.
We just went over
them
so much.
None of us own houses.
What?
None of us own homes.
To me, it's like I've just heard this joke so many times when we were writing it.
Yeah, and the whole back and forth about roofs versus roofs.
We had a whole back and forth about whether you would say roofs or roofs, or I suppose roofs.
Which you're Catherine Hepburn.
You're Catherine Hepburn.
Very Catherine Hepburn.
There's a cheetah in here. There's a cheetah on the roof. I can't do it.
That was a dead on.
Cheetah. Roofs. Has anybody ever seen Bringing Up Baby?
Of course.
Lazarus, you've seen Bringing Up Baby.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's a great criterion.
Have you seen Bringing Up Baby?
Mm-mm, no.
That's why Cary Grant is wearing
movies.
A nightgown, and it's one with like the marabou feathers on it because it's Catherine Hepburn's.
I do love
and
that.
Then an older woman walks in the door and asks what's going on. He goes, I just went gay all of a sudden. He jumps in the air. It's a great movie.
And I believe that is an example of for the squares, it could mean happy.
Yes.
But people would have known he meant gay.
Double entendre for you.
How fun is that?
Something for everybody.
Huh? Back in the, what was that code called?
We got to put it out there.
Haze code.
Haze code. One note, I do want to reference a mistake that I made on this weekend.
Oh, thank God. Thank
Love
God.
It or Leave It,
I know everyone's been worrying.
Truly,
in my conversation with Thomas Lennon, I thought that Kris Kristofferson, who stars in the 1989 sci-fi film Millennium,
which we all remember and know,
and definitely has a lot to do with Katharine Hepburn,
has passed away. But I wanted to provide an editor's note. The reason I thought Kris Kristofferson was dead was because Kris Kristofferson had beef with Toby Keith. And when Toby Keith died in February, people were posting links to awesome stories about Kris Kristofferson, including when he shamed Toby Keith and when he stood up for Sinead O'Connor. This was all very good. However, my wires got Kris Kristofferson.
Yes, 100%.
And that's why, because I, upon the occasion of Toby Keith's death, did a deep dive into Kris Kristofferson, thereby thinking that he had passed away when, have you heard the good news? Kris Kristofferson lives. And I hope he lives many years to come, because he's a legend, an icon, and cool dude.
My version of that is Tim Curry.
Yes.
He's alive. But I incessantly think, well, he must have already passed away. But I believe he's had
some medical challenges.
Yes, yeah. So I think he's been out of the limelight. But when he does die, I will know, because I'm such a huge fan. And everyone will be posting about it.
Anyway, to those in the comments reminding me that Kris Kristofferson is alive, thank you.
Get a life.
Thank you for holding me accountable. That's what I said to Kris Kristofferson.
And he said, I'm alive.
He said, I am. I will. And I do.
He said, how did you get in here? Please get out of here.
And finally, researchers captured 13 sharp-nosed sharks off the coast of Rio de Janeiro, and all 13 sharks tested positive for cocaine, thereby dashing their hopes of swimming for Russia at this week's Olympic Games.
Olympics are coming up. Yeah! I mean,
bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, 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 no one's joining. Bum, bum, I'm alone, dun, 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 dun. Not even helping a little bit. Never, okay.
We're supporting. We'll be very supporting of it.
And that is our show.
We did
What an exciting time.
To be alive.
To be alive. We have a great show lined up for this Thursday night that'll be out Saturday, including a special guest that we've added based on the news. So you have that to look forward to. And I just want to say that it's nice to be hopeful.
Oh, and yeah. It feels great.
That, yes, there are real challenges and real uncertainty. I'm sure we will have plenty of polls that come in the coming days that pop from one to several of our balloons, and that's fine. But being too hopeful is not less sophisticated than being too cynical, and we have to fight, we have to work really hard, but it is much easier to be part of a group of people that are excited and motivated to do what we need to do than it is to be part of a team that's just trying to do the best they can under circumstances that make them terrified. So we don't know what the future holds, but I think the fact that the last 72 hours have energized and excited so many people are a reminder of like what politics can be. And we should hold on to this, even though the next 100 days are probably not going to feel as good every day as the last week has felt. And by the way, also that like it is a testament to the campaign around Joe Biden and to the Democrats running up and down the ballot that we're in a position where we can have a strong candidate step in, take over a working and excellent organization staffed with really smart, good people, and hit the ground running and make use of the $100 million they've raised in a way that is smart and effective. And we've had a very contentious couple weeks, but despite the efforts to, you know, paint Joe Biden as whatever they want to paint Joe Biden as, like, we're also running on a record of success that is like incredible. And as much as this race will be about the future, like if we win, it will be because of how successful Joe Biden was. And like, I just feel, I don't know, like all the angst and ambivalence and worry has like made way for a lot of gratitude. And I just want to say that. I hope
and
you all feel the
gratitude.
Same way. Gratitude.
Cheers.
To gratitude.
To gratitude.
See you slut Saturday. Love it or leave it, it's love it or leave it. Stretch your tie. Love it or leave it, it's love it or leave it. Stretch it on both sides. Love it or leave it, it's love it or leave it. Stretch your tie. Thank you. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Chris Lord is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus and Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, Will Miles, and Mohamed El-Sheikhi are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. And Milo Kim is our videographer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designer, Bernardo Serna, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast, and to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroat, for filming and editing video each week so you can.
It's Love It or Leave It.
Leopold and Loeb were gay and murdered.
Oh, cool. Great. Okay, we
thought
figured it out.
They thought their superior intellect would make them possible to commit the perfect crime.
Wait.
And then Sacco and Vanzetti...
I think killing a child is proof positive you don't have a superior intellect. Like, that's pretty fucking stupid.
They also were murderers or convicted,
great.
I believe.
What are we talking about?
They were executed by electric chair.
Cool.
I guess for legal reasons, I should say Teresa Giudice did not murder anyone.
Thank you.
Great.
It doesn't like couples who do crimes together do stay together.
Yeah, that's
there is something bonding about it.
You stay married so that you can't testify against the spouse.
And that's just smart. Using the legal system.
Let's trim this down.
Do nothing. Let's delete it.
It's none of our business.